The 1990s saw predictions of a rising class of young, violent criminals, and sociologists predicted that those criminals would spark a massive rise in violent crime.
A new video from The Retro Report looks back at the rise and fall of the super predator. Here's a clip.
There's a tidal wave of juvenile violent crime right over the horizon.
And some who study it say the worst is yet to come.
Life in the 1990s was dominated by a sense that youth violence was out of control. The future looked bleak. To explain why, one word said it all.
Super predators.
Bonnie Bertram joins us now. She's a producer for the Retro Report. They do an ongoing video series looking at past stories and updating them. Their goal, the truth now about the big stories then. Bonnie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob. Nice to be here.
Well, remembering the 90s, that really was the scene. Why were we so worried about youth violence in the mid-1990s?
Well, I think a lot of it started with that high-profile case of the woman who had been raped in Central Park. And people, now we know erroneously, thought that a bunch of teens who had been quote-unquote wilding had gone after her. And then several years later, a lot of your listeners being in Wisconsin might remember that in Chicago it was a really bad summer. In late summer, two brothers, a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old, killed a fellow gang member who was 10, who had himself shot another young woman by accident. And then that was followed up just a few weeks later with the tragic death of Eric Morse, who was 5, and who was dropped out of an apartment, an empty apartment building window, because he refused to sell candy for some other boys. So I think people had just felt like there was this constant drumbeat of horrendous crimes and kids who were so young, and they just felt a sense of weariness and exasperation, and they felt like, when will this end and what are we going to do to stop it?
And where did the concept of the super predator come from?
Well, there is a political scientist professor at Princeton University named John DiIulio, who had done a lot of work in prisons, and he had studied crime even though his forte was political science. And he had done a lot of sort of on-the-ground research, and he said that, you know, he would go in and talk to these prisoners who had done terrible things, but that the juvenile populations were terrifying to him. And one older prisoner he talked to said, these young guys coming in today, they're stone-cold predators. So Professor DiIulio and some of his cohorts, who were also criminologists and sociologists, looked at a bunch of data and from the Census Bureau and crime statistic forecasts. And they thought, oh my gosh, this is just the beginning of a wave of kids who are going to be even more violent, and they're going to be more in number. And he wrote an article for the then nascent Weekly Standard magazine, and he talked about stone-cold predators. And he mentioned it in the text, and his editor realized that was a very catchy media topic, and so that became the title of the piece, The Coming of the Super Predator.
Mm-hmm. And this concept caught on, and then there were predictions from John DiIulio and others that crime was going to boom because of these super predators.
He had a great line. He said, you don't have to worry about finding yourself in a bad neighborhood. The bad neighborhood's coming to you. He really has a knack with words, and talked about this group of kids who are fatherless and godless. And just that they were remorseless, that they had no compunction or second thoughts about the kind of killing sprees that they were going to go on.
What ended up actually happening in the crime rates after these predictions?
Well, that's the curious thing. So his article comes out in 1995, just about the same time that juvenile crime rates inexplicably start dropping precipitously. And even today, nobody knows really what to attribute that drop to. But it was a stunning reversal. He said that he thought the crime rate was going to double and then double again. And in fact, it dropped. So he was off by at least a factor of 4. So.
And in this edition of Retro Report, you talked to him and some other academics who'd made similar predictions. What, looking back now, what are they saying about what they thought and said then?
Well, it's really interesting. And, you know, a lot of times you interview college professors and, you know, they sort of stay on script. But we took a long time to get Professor DiIulio to talk with us. He's now at University of Pennsylvania now. And I have to say that it was really pretty commendable that he you know, he was what you'd call sort of a public intellectual. He didn't want to just sit around in his ivory tower and write a white paper or an abstract like, wow, look at this, you know, we're all going to be in, we're all doomed. He felt compelled that he really had to go out and sound the alarm bell. So sort of to his credit, he and a couple of other of his colleagues who had the same concern, one of them being Alan Fox at Northeastern University, went out and talked to the media and wrote articles. And, you know, the people were eager to assign blame to this group of kids, and they wanted that abstract fear that they had to sort of, it gave a place for that abstract fear to sort of live. So when he found out that the crime rate was wrong, it became a really interesting psychological profile of what happens when a public intellectual puts himself out there in the arena of sort of public opinion, and then what do they do when they're wrong? And I think it took a lot of courage. I mean, there were a lot of terrible results of what he did, but I also think it took a lot of courage for him to say, you know what, I was wrong. And not only was he wrong, Rob, but he signed an amicus brief. The juvenile justice sentencing laws were challenged before the Supreme Court in 2010 as being too draconian, too harsh on kids. And he signed the amicus brief that I did a search in the brief, and I think like 72 times the name Super Predator comes up. And every time it's mentioned as this terrible aspect that was erroneously named, you know, it completely trashes the whole Super Predator notion. And then he said, you know what, I'm going to sign that. So it was pretty, it was a pretty incredible turnaround.
Well, Bonnie, thanks for tracking the story back to then and now, and thanks for joining us today.
Sure, my pleasure. Check us out at retroreport.org.
Yeah, that was Bonnie Bertram, producer with Retro Report, and we've got a link to the full video of this report on super predators over at the Central Time Facebook page that'll take you over to that video and other videos at Retro Report.